How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad that you tuned into the broadcast again this week, and we'll pick our study up here in John chapter 7. We left off here in verse number 17. Let's back up to verse number 14, pick up the thought, and we'll continue on. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And so, it's the Feast of the Tabernacles. It's in the fall after harvest, and all of Israel is instructed to go to Jerusalem and build little tabernacles, little lean-tos, shanties, tents, and dwell there for a week and worship the Lord as he's commanded and gave unto Moses with the offerings and the holy convocations, and otherwise be there in fellowship and rest together. And so he goes up to the temple in the midst of this. He's going to the feast secretly, but there on the third, fourth day of the feast, he goes to the temple and teaches. And so they marvel about him. It says, verse 15, the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? How can this man know the word of God as he does? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. I teach what I've been given of the Father to teach. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So if any man is obedient to the Father, he'll know that what I'm speaking lines up and is from God. Or he'll know that I'm just a freelancer in speaking of myself. And of course, we know the Lord Jesus Christ was not. He came to preach what God had, the Father had given him to do. As Jesus Christ, as a man, came and was obedient to his Father. He says, I don't have this doctrine myself. I have it from the Father. And so in verse number 18, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. Okay, so here's a thing that is so. He said, if a man speaks of his own doctrine, his own teaching, and don't be afraid of that word doctrine. It means teaching. It means instruction. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory, he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Oh, let's talk about TV evangelists. Let's talk about even those that are on the radio and famous. Who do they seek to glorify? Do they seek to glorify themselves, or do they seek to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ says here, if a man seeks his own glory, he's going to speak of himself. But one that comes speaking of the doctrine and the way and the truth of another, seeking to glorify them, he said, the same is true. He says, I'm not coming to glorify myself. I'm coming to glorify the Father. Verse 18, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. I tell you what, don't follow after a man that says about what he does. The greatest words or the words used greatest in his vocabulary are I and me. Don't follow after a man that says that. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. May the Lord always help that we point sinners to Christ. Here at Olmsted Baptist Church, we desire to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He is true. His word is true. His doctrine is true. His teaching is true. His salvation is true. And we point sinners to him, those who are saved and have the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We point you to him that you need to be obedient in service to the Lord. Don't take your service of your Savior lightly. You need to be about the will of your Savior as the Savior was about the will of his Father. That's how we are right and a good witness of what the Lord's done for us. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh the glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Verse 19, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? So, wow, the Lord Jesus Christ, he takes it to them, and he says, Moses gave you the law, and of course that law came from the Father and given unto Moses. He said, but you don't keep it? Wow. They say that they keep it. They believe that they keep it. They teach that they keep it. But Jesus, taking this cloak that's on their sin, he's taking the cloak, he's taking the covering on their hypocritical, self-righteous wickedness and sin, and he's taking that cloak and he's pulling it right off. He says, you've got the law given by the Lord to Moses, and you don't keep it. You don't keep it. You don't keep it. And then he says, why do you go about to kill me? Again, the book of John, the Gospel of John, is going to fast forward more to the end of the Lord's ministry. And we've already come to a point where the Lord has been threatened by them. He's been threatened by them to that they would kill him. They're jealous of him. They want to take him out. They despise him in his way. He's a condemnation to them. And therefore, they want to kill the Lord and get rid of him because he is challenging them in every way. He's bringing their situation, the little fiefdom that they have. He is upsetting the apple cart, if you will, and they do not want it. They see a threat in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 20, the people answered and said, thou hast a devil, who goeth about to kill thee? And so they're denying that that's the case, and they accuse the Lord of being possessed, having a devil, and which is, bad. It's a terrible thing to accuse the Lord of such. And he said, who goeth about to kill thee? In verse 21, the Lord Jesus Christ answers, Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. He's healed a man. He's made a man every whit whole. He has fed these people and has turned the water into wine. He's done a miracle, and they can't stand it. I've done one work, and ye all marvel. Verse 22, Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I've made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? And so, because of his healing of this man, they have taken a position of hatred and vehemence to the Lord. The Lord, the Father, has given the command of circumcision, that private token of the calling of the Lord of Abraham's seed. And he says, Moses gave you unto you circumcision, not because it was Moses, but of the fathers. It came from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God Almighty gave it to them. And so on the Sabbath day, you'll go ahead and circumcise a man, a man-child. And if he can receive circumcision on the Sabbath day, on Saturday, on the last day of the week, which is what they had to observe for the worship of the Lord, the Lord's day, and you do that so the law won't be broken, are you angry at me because I've made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? And consider that of a man-child, a boy, a young babe being circumcised. There's going to be the trauma from that. There's going to be the crying of the child. There's going to be the nervousness of the parents. The priest that would do the circumcision, maybe he would even be nervous about getting it done right and all those things. There would be some tension that would be involved with that. But the Lord ordered it. They needed to keep it. But when the Lord healed this man, he wasn't excited. He didn't get worked up. He didn't even break a sweat. And they have said that he has broken the Sabbath day because he's healed this man, made him every whit whole, and they're troubled about it. He says in verse 24, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." And I tell you what, that's a thing that all of us need to get a hold of. Don't judge according to the appearance. Don't judge according to what men say or men think. But judge righteous judgment. You know how that mankind can judge righteous judgment? By doing so by what God has said. By doing what the Lord has said. In Matthew chapter 7, the scripture says, "Judge not that you be not judged." The Lord is not saying that we don't make judgments, but we need to judge according to what He says, not according to what we say. And we certainly don't need to be hypocritical. If we take the Word of God, and the Word of God says, the Lord says that it should be a certain way, or we should be a certain way about a thing, or we should abstain from a certain thing, or whatever it would be, we don't need to require that of others and then go ahead and disobey it ourselves. That's being a hypocrite. But we need to obey it ourselves, and then we need to hold that standard to all. Judge not according to appearance, to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Don't judge by what you can see with your eye and what you understand as a man, but judge according to the righteous judgment of God. And verse number 25, "Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill?" Isn't this the one that they're looking for and that they are in fact seeking to kill? It was known amongst the people that they wanted to put the Lord Jesus Christ out of business and put him to death, get him out of the way. He says, "Isn't this the one?" They have denied that they are seeking to kill him, but there are those that ask that, "Well, isn't this the one that they seek to kill?" And so they acknowledge that it is true what the Lord said. "But lo," verse 26, "he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?" I've wondered about this verse and that latter part of it. What are they saying there? Jesus is speaking boldly. They're not able to resist his words. And it's this question that they ask, "Do the rulers know indeed that this is very Christ?" Are they saying, "We know this is Christ," and they don't know? If we, they, the rulers of the Jews there, they are the ones that say they've got the Word of God, they know the way to God, and are they marveling and saying, "Do we understand and know that this is Christ, but the rulers don't?" Is that what their position is? Or are they saying the rulers do know that this is Christ and they're trying to keep him from us? What is it that they mean? What is it that they're saying there? Do you know Christ? Do you know that this Jesus of Nazareth is the very Christ? That's what you need. You need him as Savior. We point you to him. May the Lord help you that you see your wickedness, your sin before God, and you turn from that in repentance to the Lord, and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. May the Lord help you in that. See that our time is past for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.